Good morning. Romans 9:16 says, "It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy." This morning I want to talk to you. I think I've learned something. And I'm going to try and teach that to you, I guess. Or maybe refresh your memory, because I don't think it's anything I hadn't known before. Okay. Need these off for one thing. I've known something has been wrong for couple months. Just couldn't put my finger on it. Something wasn't right. Something wasn't, just wasn't going right, okay? And being the person I am, I think, I decided I was going to try and work my way out of this. Hence, Romans 9:16, it does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. I have probably worked harder. Well, this might go back more than a couple months, maybe a couple years. But I've worked harder and tried to be more efficient, tried to be more frugal, more, you know, try to find the little bit I can squeeze out of it and, you know, get that space, that space. Movies are made about this, like X-Men and all this stuff, you know, the hero comes in and just under impossible odds, they just wade in there and start bashing things and mashing things and getting all bloody and muddy and just destruction and everything. And then the hero goes in there and grabs whatever it is that needs grabbing and hauls it back out of there, and the sky turns blue and the grass is green, and then they go on vacation and everything's great and wonderful. Well, it doesn't work like that, because there's always a sequel. And then they go back in there, and they wade in there, and they start bashing and mashing. And, well, you never quite get to the vacation part. The green grass and the blue skies and the sandy beaches. And you're just always bashing and mashing. And that's why you get tired of that. And if you get more efficient and smarter and faster, they just plug another job in there. Love how that works. I'm all happy. I shaved a half hour off of that job, get out to my van, look at my paperwork. I'm already late for my next one. Like, what if I wouldn't have gotten a half hour ahead? You know? So, things like that just irritate me. Just tick me off. Then the caulking gun slides out of the back of the van, and I'm leaving knuckle marks in the side of my van. It's like, why do I act like that? And it's just, you know, ticked off. Best way, the nicest way to describe it. And I'm just knocking away, trying. And the weekends aren't long enough. My boss told me this the other day. He says, it doesn't matter. He says, if I have a 3-day weekend, I always need one more day. If I had a 4-day weekend, I always need one more day. And it's just funny that came from him, because he's part of my problem, seems like. Because, you know, he keeps squeezing, pushing. And anyway, so I don't really think he's the problem. He's under the same gun I'm under. So all right, we've spent enough time on that. Okay, so the second thing is I love you guys. You guys are wonderful. Every single one of you. Some of you I know a whole lot better than others. Some of you I don't know hardly anything about you. But that's all right. I think that's the way life works. And but keep coming here. Keep making your comments. Keep bringing your lessons, your mutual ed comments, and comments in class. Really, I don't know where I'd be without you. So keep doing it. Keep going on with that. I greatly appreciate it because there's little comments. 3-4 words, that's all. That's all I need. Just problem is the 500 to 600 that you got to deliver those for. So just keep going. Keep saying them. And because I need those. I'm not going to go into specifics because there's too many. I tried. I started writing things down. And it's like, oh, I'll leave somebody out. And that'll be the most important one and all that stuff. So I can't do that. So I can remove that. Okay. So let's see here. Okay. I'm so ticked off and irritated and working hard, and I've forgotten something. Obviously, something is not going right. And so I'm praying. It's like, all right, Lord, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I'm pretty sure I got that down, because this is just rotten. I shouldn't be acting like this. So I'm praying, and then lo and behold, things start falling into places, seems like. And Joy has helped me with this. I don't know whether she knows this or not, but it was last Saturday, and I was bashing and smashing and, you know, trying to get somewhere and get things done, and I run into Joy, who was also right in there with me. She was in there kicking it too, but I was being short-tempered and running out of time, and it was probably, if I remember right, it was about 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. That's a bad time, because that's when I realize the first part of the day is gone and the sun's going down and it's not a good time. So I run into Joy and I am just being uncommunicative would be a good word, just bad. I'll just stick with that, bad. And so she lets me know that it's not working. And she said it in such a way that when she said it, it was like, oh, that's going to leave a mark. But then the other part of me says, I don't care. I just kept right on going. And later, it just kind of is one of those, like a porcupine quill, perhaps. Never had one of those, but I've heard about them. It just kind of sits in there and pokes and jabs. And it's like, no, that's not right. So then we come here and we're sitting back there. And let's flip over to Ephesians 5. And we read, starting in verse 23... I know that's not anyway, that's where we're going to start. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Not doing so well. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the... All right, did I skip a line now? That's the problem with my eyes. All right, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. So I'm sitting there, going, all right, we're doing the Mexican hat dance on my toes. And not feeling very well. And so I knew, you know, I knew something was not right. I mean, like I said, I've been praying about this once or twice at least, which is a lot for me, it seems to be. And so we're going over this. And I had this encounter with Joy the day before. And so this is like hurting. And but I wasn't getting it. I still wasn't getting it. It's like, all right, I know this isn't right. I know I'm messing up here. I know I'm screwing this up. But I don't get what I'm doing wrong yet. And so I'm taking this in. And one of the verses that stuck with me was the next one here, which I can't quite remember where I left stopped. Oh, yeah, 31. And maybe 30. Well, for we are all... Well, no, 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And so, somebody in the conversation was moving backwards here and said, no one ever yet hated his own body. And I, you know, being fresh on my mind, I was thinking back to Saturday afternoon. And that's probably the one day of the week where I'm feeling probably the most like hating myself. Because, like I said, I can't work hard enough, can't work fast enough, can't, you know, there's just not enough time. And then, yeah, and also it's a weekend, so you're supposed to take it easy and relax and catch up on your sleep and get ready to go to work and, you know, and then there's Sunday, so you're supposed to be in the zone and... worship, be ready to worship God and all this stuff. And, you know, not getting any of that accomplished. And so, and then I was thinking, one flesh. So I'm out there muttering to myself, like, because I'm not working hard enough, fast enough, and relaxing, and, you know, all these things. And then I bump into Joy, and I have this thing that goes on. And I'm thinking, I treated Joy like I treat myself. That wasn't very nice, and that's not what the way I want to treat Joy. So, what am I missing? So, then we move on. Time goes on, and I'm in charge of mutual aid. Well, Brianna's not here, so she talks about grace and treating people with grace. And the light bulb came on. I don't treat myself with grace. I have high standards. The bar is set way up there. Perfection, you know, if I'm going to do something, it's going to be done right. and blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure the bar is up there. I think the bar is somewhere down there, down in a hole. And so I'm not so sure. I don't treat myself with grace. And so that means I treat those closest to me probably without grace. Because the bar is way... No, no, down there. Down there. So, I'm not sure I was going to go into grace. Look that up. That's not me. So, I want to apply it. I don't care about the Greek. I do care about it, but... I just want to get the job done and get it done right. So, how do we do this? And I'm being the man of the house. I am the tip of the spear. So wherever I go, the rest of the family follows along behind. Okay. So if I Saturday morning. I'm already frustrated. And Saturday mornings are fun days at our house, if you haven't gathered that already. It's a great day of expectation and fun and all this stuff. Not really. So, I've noticed that if I start the day off with a rip-roaring, get out of bed, we got things to do, and, you know, I'm downstairs, of course, and they're upstairs, which... You know, has communication problems because you can't sweetly yell at somebody very well and nudge them out of bed. And so what's that do? That makes everybody else just, everybody else starts yelling at everybody else. And so the dominoes are falling. Have you ever noticed that it's a lot easier to knock dominoes down than to set them back up? Have you ever done that, set dominoes up? Well, it takes time. You set all them dominoes up carefully and delicately, and then you tap this one and they're all down. It's very hard to undo what you've done. So grace, going back to grace. What time does that say? Okay, we're doing good. All right. So, I can't do that because I am the tip of the spear. Because if I do that, it'll just cave in behind me and the day will be ruined. I'm very slow in learning this. Morgan's 20. Drew is 17. Cassidy's 11, right? Yeah. Okay. And, I mean, Morgan has moved out once and is now back, but he kind of gives me a second chance, maybe. Sort of. Not really, because she's 20. But this is very important. So... I have totally screwed up my notes here, so that's why I brought them all. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 2 through 3. These are not in any particular order. As you probably have learned, I am not a analytical... I don't understand. I'm really impressed with you people who can give a lesson and it's all in order and makes sense and is proper. I can't seem to do that. So we are going to go with it. Hebrews 12, 2 through 3 says, and this is from Alan. Alan pointed this out. Whoops, I'm getting on the right page. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, that's a sticker for me, set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This joy is something I have perseverance and endurance, but not so much joy. I can grit my teeth and grind my way through a lot of things. But the joy is something I'm learning, maybe, learning how to incorporate into life. The kids, one of their saying is, it's my job to suck the fun out of everything. Well, I'm pretty good at that. And I can do that. But that's not what I'm supposed to be. And I just hope I can pick this up before they start their own families and start sucking the fun out of their own families. So by the time I get raised, they'll be grown and out of the house. And so, I don't know. We'll see here. We're getting down to crunch time. So, anyway, so grace, I'm using the word grace. I have no idea if I'm using that properly. What I mean by grace is remembering, the Lord's table is a perfect example of that. Well, that's what grace is. I mean, it is the Lord's table. God, and I have a hard time making this connection. This is my issue, I guess. I understand physical life, working hard, grinding it out. I understand that. I understand, I think I understand, spiritual life. And that I have to do certain things. And, I think I'm missing a few cogs. And you guys are those cogs. So that's why I want you to keep making your comments, keep bringing your lessons, keep doing your part, because those are the parts I'm missing. I am not, I would like to be. All right, here. I would like to be Mr. Independent, I guess, and be like the mountain man of the, you know, the very short period of in the West where the mountain man, a trapper, would go out and live by himself for most of the year and then come back, sell his furs, and, you know, he was very independent, and which I'm not sure I believe anymore. But and do that. I would like to. And I'm not wanting to leave and go to Colorado and live in the mountains. But I would like to have that spirit, I guess. And to think that I am independent, I guess, and don't really need you. That sounds cold. I don't need you guys. I am sorry, but I'm finding that you are absolutely necessary for me. I can't operate without you guys, so don't go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. So, and that's the grace. That's where the spiritual. I'm missing a wheel here. The grace comes in. The drill sergeant type thing, with the high standard, you know, I'm going to grind this out, I'm going to get this done, we're going to pound this out, and I expect that from you. Well, then you perhaps can't do that. And that's where the grace comes in, because I have to remember that I don't have all my cogs, okay? I'm missing parts. And God has provided those through you and through Christ. And so those cogs help me operate right. Well, then I can't take that picture and that level or that bar and push that on you, because I didn't attain that level without God's grace and without you. So when you don't jump over my bar and I get upset over it, I need to show you grace, because that's your missing cog in order for you to get over that bar. Is that making any sense? I'm not sure it's making sense up here even. So when somebody close to you, like Joy is to me or my kids, and I'm hoping your families are similar to mine and you have this problem too. Otherwise, this could be embarrassing. But when we're clashing and we're yelling at each other and we're fighting and we're not being operating smoothly, you know, everybody has this Facebook, the Facebook account where life is perfect. You know, you don't put on your picture for Facebook where you have somebody by the front of the shirt saying, "You are going to vacuum the carpet." That's not on your Facebook account. It's the beach one where everybody's, the sky's blue and the grass is green and the sand is warm, you know, that type of thing. It's the lie of Facebook. Everybody thinks everybody else has everything under control and lives a perfect life. They go to all the practices, they meet, they all the school events, all the, you know, blah 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 blah. And I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true. Anyway, where was I going with this? Okay, your family, and you are not having this family moment, and things are just clashing. Okay, yelling and you have to have this grace, and you can't work your way out of it. I can't. That's why I started. When I first started getting this lesson, I had this Romans 9 and 16 in the middle of my notes. And I'm like, why is that verse there? It doesn't fit. It doesn't match. And anyway, so I don't like throwing notes away until after the lesson's over. And then I throw them away. But I can't work hard enough. I can't work long enough. I will die, okay? I will get to 100 and we'll be generous, 30, and I will die. Eventually, I'm going to die, okay? No matter. If I work every single day for the rest of my life, it won't be enough. Somebody else will inherit my pillow van and my piles and clutter, and they will wonder how I got anything done. Somebody else will do it. I'll die. They'll put me in the ground, and they'll go on. So, why do I push so hard when I know I'm not going to get done anyway? And I just grind the people around me into the ground. Especially the ones I'm the most concerned about, the closest to me. And I just grind them right into the dust because they can't meet my expectations. They just can't do it. So, we're running out of time. We need to remember what Christ has done for us. And that's where I have the trouble. That's where I have the trouble making that connection between what's that got to do with my working? What's that got to do with working on that blasted barn and working for Pella that's never-endingly undone, where, you know, which is good because I get paid to do that, but it's never done. Never going to be done. And it's if you can remember that and give that space to whoever it is you're interacting with, and remember that I didn't get here by myself. I'm not. All right, my superhero right now is Marcus Luttrell. Don't know if you know who Marcus Luttrell is or not. He's a Navy SEAL who haven't seen the movie yet. Kind of not sure I want to see the movie or not, but anyway, read the book. He's done phenomenal human feats. anyway, I lost the train. Where was I? Anyway, but even if you look at him and the feats that he got done, that incredible bullet holes and falling down in mountains. I mean, you read his story, it is incredible. And but think of all the support he had to get there. Who dropped him off there? I mean, who trained him? Who loaded his bullets? Who built the gun? He didn't get there. He didn't package the food he was eating. He didn't build the laser. He didn't build the binoculars. He didn't make his clothes. He didn't do a lot of stuff. And you have to work together as a team, I guess, is what you have to do. It's a team effort. And no matter how tough, how hard you are, you have to work together as a team. And that's what this is about. So I want to read some things here. Oh, boy. I'm going to start in Matthew 10. I thought Derek was going to take my story, but he didn't. He was one chapter off. Matthew 10. All right, I'm going to skip around here. Read verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Think about that. 12 people like me, they're missing cogs. How many times do you read these stories in this book and like, come on, guys. It's right there in front of you, you know. Well, I'm the same. They're missing cogs, and I'm missing cogs. All right, he called 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Who wouldn't want that for 24 hours? Just think of what you could do in 24 hours. All right, so then we're going to skip over to verses 7 and 8. Whoops, all right, I skipped a little too far. As you go, this preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what I wanted right there. I didn't get this by any merit. I didn't do anything to deserve that. I didn't work hard enough. My desire is not enough. I could not attain that. I cannot attain the forgiveness of my sins. That bar is too far above me. No way I'm going to make that jump. All right. And this is the attitude of how God wants us to do with what He gives us. He says, you were given it, you give it away, basically. It applies to forgiveness. How are we supposed to forgive? We are to forgive as we were forgiven. And I think there's a couple other examples which I can't think of right now. But that's, God is a humongous and great God. We have no reason to hoard this. There's no reason for us to say it's going to run out. If we give it away, if we give it away as fast as we can, God's just going to keep pouring it in just as fast. There's not going to be any shortage of it. Okay? All right. All right, which one? Let's pick Romans 3. Romans 3, 22-24. See, that's my problem. I find verses that I want to read to you, and then I go backwards and forwards from it, and I can't figure out where to start and where to stop, because it all so good. And it just keeps going back, and it keeps going forward. So, all right. 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So who's doing the work here? God's doing the work. Who wants to do the work here? God wants to do the work here. That's His whole point. God, He's the one that's going to save us. He wants to be the hero. He's the one that's going to wade into this mess and do the bashing and mashing and pull us out of there and take us to the blue sky, the green grass, and the warm sand. Okay? Our job is to believe that He can do it. That's it. It isn't our job to pick up that cornerstone and say, I think it needs to be over here. Because we're not going to be able to do that. That's one of my verses here, but I didn't write down what it says. But Jesus is this cornerstone. And either we build on it, we snuggle up against it, get out of the wind, okay? We have faith that this is the cornerstone, and that it will protect us. It will be the safe place to build on. It will be, it's the where to be, okay? The cornerstone. Or it's going to be this rock that's in the way. We're going to try and pick it up and hurt ourselves, or we're going to trip over it and fall on it. Okay, so when we're interacting with those we love most, which I almost guarantee you guys are my inner circle, okay? So, grace has to be there. I have to remember that. As soon as I forget this, I start trying to move this rock because I got farmeritis. I can get my arms around it. I can pick it up, right? Okay. So, it's not going to happen. Either I'm going to work too hard and I'm going to lose sight of what I've been given, and you guys will suffer for it because, come on guys, do your part. You know, jump in there and let's get, you know, that's not it. That's not it. Our part is to believe that God can do it. Okay. So, and my part is to, when you screw up, okay, I'm not trying to be better than you here. When you screw up, my job is to, or miscommunicate, or, I mean, how many times is it just that? Just a little, you know, you're not saying what you're wanting to say, and I'm not hearing what you're wanting me to hear, and we're just butting heads like you wouldn't believe. You know, I'm not angry at Drew. I just want him to come downstairs, and I don't want to walk up the stairs. I'm yelling at him, but I'm not really angry. But what tone does that set? What tone does that set? Then he comes down the stairs, and he's already got this attitude, okay? Because, you know, and then the day just grinds. It just grinds the rest of the day. And then how that affects our spiritual life, doesn't it? Because if Saturday goes poorly, Sunday morning, there's still a little bit of that. And I'm sitting here, and I'm, how many times, I hope I'm not the only one, I'm sitting there, and this person up here is doing their job, but I'm off in my barn, I'll use that example, I'm in my barn figuring out what I didn't do yesterday, and hashing out how I'm going to get that done. It applies. So, all right, I got to wind this down. So, remember, all right, this is my rub here. I have this is where I have trouble making the connection between the physical and the spiritual, is that it applies. If I can remember what Jesus has done for me, then that helps me fix somebody's window, because I'm not sure I quite understand this yet, but it does. My attitude changes. I'm not. It almost enables me to not care to a certain point where I can fix it, and I'm not concerned about all the little boxes I'm not checking over here. I'm not doing it in the proper time frame. I'm not getting it done the first time, and I'll have to make a second trip, you know, that kind of thing. So, I guess my point of this lesson is, just try and remember that without Christ, none of this matters. You can work yourself till you're dead, and they'll put you in the ground, and somebody else will pick up your job, and they'll keep hammering at it, and then they'll die, and then 3 generations later, your family won't even remember who you are. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to tell you who Dad's father is. I don't know. I mean, I probably mess up his name even. 3 generations, I think it is. And then it's done. You're just a gravestone sitting somewhere. Somebody will come along with a piece of paper and a pencil and make a rubbing on it. Someday, maybe, you know, for their history class. You know, life moves on, and it's pretty much now that counts. So, don't mess it up. give your family grace. Remember that you ain't perfect, and remember that Christ and everybody else around you has helped you get where you're going. And that's it. So I'm done. If there's anybody here, we'll offer an invitation this time. And this is probably the most important piece of this lesson. So if you're not right with God, there's no time like the present to take care of that. But if you're not going to do that, the second best thing is later, I guess. Get with somebody. Don't let it hang out there. Get right with God and take care of that, and then the pieces will fall in place. So we'll stand and sing the closing song.